One of the most famous couples, lovers of all time, Antony and Cleopatra. And we have the artistic director and the director of this production, Peter Evans, to have a chat about Bell Shakespeare's latest production. Welcome to Stages.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thanks for coming on. So, well, Shakespeare's done a number of history plays, but this one I hear is kind of closest in fact of his plays. Do you want to give us sort of set the scene of what's going on in the play?
I think that's partly true. I mean, it is like a history play, and particularly early in Shakespeare's career, he wrote, of course, all the English history plays.
That's
but
right.
Then he was also very interested in the Roman plays. There were three or four Roman plays, and this one certainly is very close to Plutarch, which is one of our sources for the story, and particularly the life of Antony. And there are a couple of interesting things to say about that. But just to give an overview, it is about the sort of last 10 years of Antony and Cleopatra's life when they were in a relationship and actually a political alliance. At this point, Julius Caesar was assassinated and they had a civil war. The triumvirate of Mark Antony and Octavius Caesar, Julius Caesar's adopted son, and Marcus Lepidus have split the world up into three. Egypt's like a client state. It's got some autonomy, but really the Romans are controlling the known world by this point.
Right.
But the alliance between Antony and Cleopatra is problematic, particularly for Octavius Caesar. So it's a love story. It's a love tragedy within a political story, which is about the movement from the triumvirate to Lepidus being pushed aside to the war, the Battle of Actium between Caesar and Mark Antony and the eventual crushing of Antony and Cleopatra and their suicides. So it kind of has a number of genres within it. What's worth noting, though, is that all of the history is Roman.
Right.
So,
okay.
And Shakespeare, I think, is very cognizant of that. He seems to be looking at the way the Romans deal with Cleopatra. And it is a play very much about gender and about the way the Romans sort of minimize or sexualize Cleopatra in order to take her power away. And I think Shakespeare's very interested in that and kind of holds that up for us to have a look at.
Yeah, so because, they're conflicting views because in some ways she's not, is she as sexual as we kind of have painted her by now? Is she that kind of, powerful woman? And you don't see, how many of the plays do we see that sort of powerful woman rising up? And is it because that she's actually a threat because of being a woman in power?
I think so. I think that's clearly part of the Roman propaganda and the rewriting of history. I mean, she was famously in a number of relationships with Romans, including Julius Caesar. To a large extent, they're complicated because, of course, she's trying to look after her kingdom, and she was clearly incredibly popular, very, very bright, spoke a lot of languages, was the first one in her family line to learn Egyptian, actually, and the Egyptians loved her, and the Romans learnt an awful lot from her, and she had a lot of influence over the Roman world.
Okay.
However, I think she was a threat because the Romans didn't have female leaders like the Egyptians did, and I think sexualizing her was one way to
pull her down.
To pull her down and to kind of deal with their fear of what a powerful figure she was. Catherine, who's our Cleopatra, talks about it beautifully, is that the alliance with Antony would be fine, but the problem is she falls in love with him.
Right.
And I think the play deals with that too, is that they are actually in love, and that complicates a lot of their decision making and the politics in it gets complicated because it becomes very personal.
And that comment suggests that it wasn't intentional, that she was using her sex as the powers to control and manipulate.
Well, possibly. Mm. She was obviously a very good negotiator, mm. and had political relationships with kings and leaders all over, particularly the Eastern world, and she wasn't, you know, it wasn't only in a relationship she was able to exert her negotiating power, and I think that's where the play and the story has so much interest, is that it is a political story and it is about power. However, it's also about love and fallibility and particularly middle-aged love. These are not young lovers. Right, they're very much they're flawed, mm-hmm. And they're worldly, and there's no innocence in this play. People absolutely know the way the world works.
Mm-hmm. So that struggle between the reason and emotional and what you feel you should do, but what you really want to do, is comes up. What are some of the symbols? Like, I love that they're within there. There's snakes and there's all kinds of. Can you talk about the symbology and how you've used that in directing the work?
Well, the big thing for us is light, actually.
Right. Yeah.
The play famously moves from location to location. It has more scenes than any other play of Shakespeare's.
Oh, really?
There's 45 of them.
Oh, wow.
And it changes location a lot. And particularly in the 17th and 18th century, the play got very caught up with these new sort of representational sets, and it slowed the play down.
What mean naturalistic sets that change?
Yeah,
oh, what a laborious exercise.
That's right. They'd bring on Egypt, and then they'd cut it off, and they'd bring on Rome. And what we're always trying to do with our staging is find a contemporary way to explore the way the globe stage works, which is very fluid, and there's very little or no set, and so the
globe being the original.
The original stage that he was writing for. It's just a big open platform with a couple of entrances. And so Shakespeare tells us where we are, and, you know, in the end, location's not as important as character and motivation. And so we spend quite a lot of time trying to work out how to do that, and we've arrived at light.
Okay.
And the play is very much about light, and identity is explored as like water and water, or discandying is a beautiful word that Shakespeare uses, with kind of melting. And so that's one of our ways in, is to not only be able to show location by actually changing colour.
Yes.
And so we've created a whole series of light boxes and something very, very beautiful and very, very evocative of the changing light between Rome and Athens and Alexandria. But also to kind of look at the way the characters float. They're almost like underwater, which is very, very beautiful, but hopefully also very evocative of these people who are trying to work out what their identity is. That they know they're famous. What is it to be famous? What is it to be in public all the time? What is it to always feel that you have to act, that you have to put on and act? Mm. Shakespeare seems to be fascinated by the act of acting and the masks that we put on in our lives, and where does our personalities or our identity start and stop, and where does our acting start and stop?
Mm.
And so that's something that we're really exploring in the production.
Wow. Are you doing that in terms of costume as well?
The costumes are very contemporary.
Okay.
And so we're exploring a very glamorous, everybody on stage is very powerful. All the characters are very moneyed, the extraordinary amount of money, particularly in Egypt.
Yeah.
And so you can't help but think about celebrity. You can't help but think about extreme wealth or
fame.
You know, in today's world, the kind of CEOs and captains of industry are kind of our gods.
Mm.
And so we've created a very contemporary, very sort of, I suppose it's rock and roll as well. Kat's very, very influenced by Patti Smith and by these kind of great, queens of rock and roll, and the way we're doing it. And it's a play that's often done with sword and sandals. It's interesting that it's not always Julius Caesar. You often see in the contemporary, but not so much Antony and Cleopatra.
Mm.
So we were really interested because I find it a very contemporary, fascinating, in some ways experimental play.
How do you think it talks to us now? Is it kind of other, us and them, or East and West?
I don't think it's necessarily about East and West. I don't think that's so much Shakespeare's
agenda.
Interest. I mean, I think it's certainly the Romans see there's a kind of exotica and potentially there's a kind of fetishizing of that, but I don't think that's Shakespeare's interest so much. I certainly think gender and power is very important, and we've cross-cast our Pompey. Pompey's sort of the fourth major player in the political story, and Lucy Dolby's taken that part on, and so we are trying to kind of look at powerful women and women in power and in these very male worlds. And I find that
exciting.
I find that incredibly contemporary, obviously.
Absolutely.
And of interest.
Yes, not seen enough.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So great to have it from a classic. Well, Peter Evans, thank you. So I was going to ask you what was the most challenging thing, but I think you answered that with the number of, you know, locations in there.
Certainly, that's the challenge.
Thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Peter Evans there, the artistic director and director of the most famous lovers, or one of the most, Shakespeare's, Antony and Cleopatra, opening this week, playing at the moment down at the Sydney Opera House. Get along and see it.